Y'all know it's season 3, so K-Kumee had to come back and do it lovely. Bam! AKC get in your seat, it's almost time for SMG. We want sexy, we want gritty, and we know we're gonna get it in NYC. AKC get in your seat, it's almost time for SMG. We want sexy, we want gritty, and we know we're gonna get it in NYC. I know other motherfuckers have tried, but there's only one SMG by KC, and that's Sunday. I know y'all ready for the spice. New episode drop Monday, right? We talk nasty, classy, teach you shit. Might have you change your fantasy. Have you wanna taste some cream? You never know what SNG. Just tune in, she'll change your life respectfully. AKC getting NC, it's almost time for SNG. We want sexy, we want gritty, and we know we only get it in NYC.
Hello, and welcome to a very unique and first of its kind episode. And so today, hi babe, we're talking about something that I'm pretty sure we've all went through, but I'm pretty sure we've never really discussed here on Sex and the Gritty. And so I'm here with one of my favorite people to chat with. You know, when you're talking about real ass shit, you gotta talk to a real ass bitch.
Period.
You feel me? And so my real ass bitch is here. Who you on my mic?
Period. This is Miss Don't Ask to Link, the one and only official Robin Banks.
Mm-hmm. And today we are here to talk about some grief, right? But we're here to talk about a couple types of grief because, you feel me, as we grown and, you know, on Sex and the Gritty, as I encourage y'all to have all types of sex, you know, there are some consequences and some results that happen in the sex. So, basically, you feel me? I want to ask right off the bat because I don't even have my cue card today. We doing real shit.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I know.
I was like, oh, she going to be having that work for me. But
yeah, I didn't even bring my cue cards because my assistant has them. But so now here we are with the, have you ever got pregnant after having sex?
Yes, I have gotten pregnant. That's something only people very close to me know. Mm-hmm. Like direct friends and family, but I've been pregnant before, yes.
Okay, and I know that you don't exactly have a kid, so can I ask you what happened?
To be completely honest, mm-hmm. I was in a very toxic relationship, and the point where I was pregnant, I didn't feel like it would be healthy for me to bring a child into that relationship. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, I terminated my child. Mm-hmm. Very hard situation, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Like I definitely understand you because I was pregnant in November. I found out, and we were so happy. Like we were so like fucking ecstatic to have a little, you know, a little us. Mm-hmm. Right. And we ended up losing the baby right before Christmas. I had to get a DNC. It was very hard because I've never been pregnant before. I've never had a pregnancy scare. I've only taken a Plan B once. You feel me? And it wasn't even like I really thought I was going to have a baby. That was a bum ass nigga. I didn't want to take any chances. And so it was just really hard because, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody who I'm completely in love with.
So you wouldn't mind?
I wouldn't mind. Like, we have our home, we have our car, we have our careers. Like, we're definitely the power couple that I always saw as parents. I always saw myself in a relationship with somebody, and I would not, the day I found out I was pregnant, I would cry and be mad happy. Like, and that's exactly what happened. Like, we was in the
bathroom. It was very mutual.
It was mutual. Like, we were both so happy. When we first saw the pregnancy test, we was like, yo, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah, we're going to take a couple more because, you know, I don't know. Like, it was just, like, the excitement plus the not knowing, it was a lot. And so, like, even the month that I was pregnant, I mean, I couldn't keep anything down. Like, I couldn't even leave the room because he smokes weed.
But, sorry to cut you off. At mm-hmm. what point did you think, like, maybe I'm pregnant? Because you said you've never been pregnant before.
So the point that I was pregnant was when I missed my period. Oh, I never okay. missed my period.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, basically, it was his birthday was coming up. His birthday is December 5th. And my period was supposed to come right before his birthday. And I was waiting on that bitch because I needed her to clear out before his birthday and get that wax, you know, get his birthday present ready. That was not his present, though. But, yeah, so, I mean, it didn't come. And I'm like, babe, because I knew, like, the day that he actually nutted in me and I was ovulating, I knew because he had just gotten into a car accident. What was even an accident? His tire blew on the highway and he lost control of the car, but he ended up getting it back. You feel me? And that was so fucking crazy. And so, like, I mean, I almost lost him. And then, you know, mm-hmm. he came home. We had sex. You feel me? Like,
survival. We celebration. Like,
nigga said, nigga, we made it. And I remember, like, literally, I remember him nutting at me and I'm like, oh, babe, I'm ovulating. He was like, I don't give a fuck. We
oh, so again. This is, okay, so... Because I know you and your partner are, like, hypersexual. You guys have a lot of sex. So when you said this was your first pregnancy, not to be that way, mm-hmm. I was shocked. So I'm like, okay, maybe you were on birth control.
Like, no, I've... So that's
I would
thing.
Think
I've,
that at the rate you guys have sex...
I know, but
that you
would have
been pregnant
though.
3 million times.
Yo, and it's so funny because I always say that... I don't believe in abortions, right? And so I feel like God literally knew when to give me that baby because at the end of the day, I would never want to be in a situation where I don't believe in abortions, but I don't like the partner or the partner turned out not to be who I thought they were, which in the case, most of my exes are because they're not here, right? And so I've never had to like go to the doctor and I never had to do any of that. Like it was just perfect.
To be fair though, I used to say that I didn't believe in abortions. And when I was pregnant, it was my first time being pregnant. Right. And initially, I was excited about the idea of having a child mm-hmm. because I was, 22? So I feel like, okay, I'm not super young and I'm not old. And I thought I wanted to have a baby. But when I started to, like, write it down on paper or, like, look at all the factors, it just wasn't the right decision for me.
Right.
And...
And that's something that you said something very important. Like, you realized you were pregnant, and so you started to literally write down the factors of your pregnancy, how it would affect you, what you needed in life, what you needed to attain.
And my child. Like, that was the priority right mm-hmm. there. Like, how it would affect my child that I'm bringing into
and
the
I
world.
And I feel like...
Ashley.
A lot of people didn't really... Not to say anything wrong with that, but I feel like a lot of people really didn't get time to sit down and think about it and make a decision. I mean, shout out to the women who did weigh out those factors and decided that they weren't ready because we don't ever want to have a child that we don't want. I feel like I've seen a lot of products of that in my lifetime. I've seen a product of a mother who just had a baby and really did not want it. And those
and you know
people,
what's crazy? Sometimes it's really a reflection of their partner that puts that thought in their head.
That's a lot.
But my partner, he actually was excited about me being pregnant as mm-hmm. well. But not even to sound like that, I just felt like it was just a disaster waiting mm-hmm. to happen mm-hmm. because we weren't at the best spot. And right. I took complete responsibility because I knew at that moment I didn't want to have a child with that person, but we were still having sex irresponsibly.
Right.
Like,
and
just
so even then,
wilding.
Because, I mean, I wasn't always having sex responsibly, but the thing about it is I would just make sure that during my ovulation, I wasn't even playing it. That was the thing I was watching. I'm an ovulation watcher, so it was like when I know it's time for me to produce
that's
these,
when y'all
I'm
chill
like,
out.
All right, let me relax. Because at the end of the day, like, that's not what I'm ready for. Like, I have a plan, and I really want to set my plan in motion. Like, I found the partner, and we're on the road to the steps. So even though the baby came, you know, early, we were still excited because it's like we have... everything we need, like all we need to do is work a little harder.
But do you think
me?
Everyone, I feel like no one is ever 100% ready to have
I don't feel like you can ever
child.
Be 100% ready because you don't know what you don't know. And people can tell you a million things, but you won't know until you know. And experiencing things are different. Like some people could tell you this for your child, but your child might not work for your child.
Right.
You feel me? And it's just like, even like it just, it was sad because like I was like so sure that this was what I needed, like only because again my relationship with God, I felt like he never played me before. He never gave me a baby by somebody
so
I didn't
knew.
want,
so he
so
knew this was the right person, the right
it.
time.
You feel me? He knew this was it. And so like when we lost the baby, like it was just like oh damn. I mean, fuck.
Why do I feel like I'm about to cry?
Like, I mean, I pushed past the tears when I first said it, but I mean, I don't want to cry. But, you know, it was just, like, it was kind of heartbreaking because it's just, like, I did want a little us. I did want to see a little person with our features. Like, I did all the lessons that I'm teaching everybody around the world. I want to teach my little person these lessons. I want to literally make them the example of everything I say. Like, I want...
Can I ask you a question, though? Course. Now that you've had that happen mm-hmm. and you got a little, like... insight Chase. Right yeah. of that, do you think you're gonna actually wait for your right time or if it happens again?
So that's another thing,
because
so,
you did say you guys weren't planning for yeah, it to happen. So that's another
thing. So after that pregnancy scare, we double watching for the ovulation. Like, we are not trying to play. Like, we're not even I'm not even a Twinkie anymore. I've been a, you feel me, I'm a toaster strudel. I'm a toaster strudel now. Yeah, he's definitely been good with that. Like, we're at the point where it's like, damn, that shit was really real. Like, we're so sad that Nugget, RIP Nugget, you feel me? RIP Nugget. So we so sad that Nugget is not here. But on another note, it's like, we get to prepare for Nugget 2.0.
Now feel I me? Feel like all this guilt. I mean...
Don't feel guilty, because think about it, right?
Because I did feel instant guilt. So this is another thing, like, not to judge everyone else, but... I see a lot of people, like, mainly on Twitter, you know, I see a lot of people making, like, little jokes and stuff when it comes yeah. to, like, abortion. Termination yeah. and things like that make me uncomfortable. I mean, different people, they deal with situations differently, so you might deal with it by making jokes and stuff, but it makes me super uncomfortable because there's so many women out there that was in a situation like you.
To be honest, that was a part of my recovery as well. So I was really sad because I know, like, about, you know, how everybody... Some women can't have babies. And, you know, I was worried that it was my fault, especially when I was pregnant. But the doctor, she told me, like, no, it's nothing of your fault. You feel me? These things happen. Like, she's like, trust me, you'll be pregnant soon again.
Because you've been pregnant.
Bitch, no. You feel me? She's like, you got to be very careful because, you feel me, you are very fertile right now. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that just wasn't the route we wanted to take. And, I mean, like... Again, being pregnant, it was just, like, it was so beautiful. Like, I mean, when I say I didn't see the kitchen that month, I didn't see it. I wasn't even big belly pregnant. I wasn't on my feet. I didn't do nothing for myself. I mean, it was so bad, though, that, like, when he smoked, he had to wear a hazmat suit. Like, I'm going to put these pictures.
Because you were nauseous?
Yeah, because I couldn't smell anything.
You know what's crazy? God. I didn't have any... I didn't have any real pregnant. So the thing about it is my period was always irregular since I came off of birth control. Mm. So birth control had my period all over the place.
And I never wanted birth control because I knew that. I think birth control was just formulated to just decrease the amount of babies that the black population is having. I'm still not over that, and I would never take birth control because I just like, why would you not want to have your period? I know some people are like, oh, I take it because I don't want to have my period. But why would you not want to have your period? That's a self-cleaning mechanism. That's something that needs to happen every month. I want my body to get all that out, you understand? So I never understood birth control, but from the aspect of me, like, not from a woman who got six kids and she don't want another yeah. kid, you feel me? Because then birth
mine control was more like a my parents found out I was sexually active, you know.
They want to put you on birth control. And I really appreciate my mom for allowing me to make that decision because she did ask me. She was like, do you want to go on birth control? And I was just like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. You understand? My older sister, she did try it. But personally, I just never felt like I wanted to alter something else to alter my emotions, my weight.
And you know what's so crazy? You do get a lot of pressure. Because even now when I see my GYN, I still get a lot of birth control mm-hmm. pressure. And they still don't understand why. Like, right now, at this point in my life, I don't need birth control. But yeah. when I'm telling my GYN, they really, like, try to press it on you.
And it's crazy that I really press that women need to be able to advocate themselves for themselves with their doctors, because a lot of these doctors only know what's in the books, but medical history develops every single day. There's a new strain that we didn't know what the fuck was going on. Y'all had to come up with that. So, like, I remember even telling my doctor about an issue I had, and she was telling me, no, it's not possible. And I said, okay, you know what? Give me this, give me that. And I figured it out, and I'm like, yourself. Listen, here you go. I changed the face of medication, so I don't know if you want to tell but them that's I changed a, there's the a face lot of medicine.
Listen, over like here. Doctors know what they study, but they're still studying. A lot of them are still studying. There's so many people get misdiagnosed, go see plenty specialists before.
Advocate strongly for yourself. Do not let them talk you into giving something you don't need. You don't need certain things. Don't let them take it. I'm telling you guys, advocate for yourselves and know what you want for your body. Because if I was not able to advocate for myself and strongly tell them no, it was a lot of issues that they would have missed because they were telling me, oh, it's nothing. And I'm telling them it's something, you know, and it's just a lot of people have issues that goes left untreated because they tell the doctor and they tell them it's nothing. No, bitch, yeah. It's something. Okay. And another thing with the, with my doctors, they were very attentive because I've been going there since I was 14 and I'm regular in my doctor because I'm sexually active. So they know me. I mean, my doctor, we kick it and we chill and we talk, you feel me? So it's just like, even her seeing me get to the pregnancy and losing it, like she cried with me, you feel me? Just a little, cause she was like, damn,
I
was,
know,
you
right.
feel me? Like, I was here and I was just like, at the end of the day, like, I'm just happy that I had a partner that was able to be there for me, you know, during the pregnancy. He showed me that he was going to be an amazing father. Like,
and
he was
after, because that's where you need the needed after, the most support.
And it was the support where, like, he cried with me when I came out. Like, I remember coming out of the clinic after I had the DNC, and I was just sitting in the car, and I was just like, Nugget is gone. Like, it just hit me, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I was just crying, and he was like, it's okay, come on, I'm going to get you home. He held my hand the whole way, like, doing 90. Like, we just
and he's
to get
like,
me
this
home.
Is going
like,
to be my baby daddy. Like, this is my baby father.
It's crazy, because I already knew. Like, I knew from the way that he treated me that a product of me and him, he would love 10 times more. Like, and it just made me love him more, because I was right. I was fucking right. You feel me? Like, I mean, I didn't have to make a tea. I didn't have to cook. I didn't have to make an egg. I didn't have to clean the house.
As you shouldn't, though.
I didn't have to do nothing, not even the laundry. And I didn't even have a belly. It was just, I was nauseous every single day.
But you see how you said that both of you guys were genuinely excited, and he showed you how excited he was. Yeah. I told you, in my situation, I told the person that I was pregnant, and they were like, oh yeah, like excited, but it wasn't much physical emotion. Like, no one, it's just regular, oh, like, are you feeling okay? But like, constant being on his toes, it wasn't there. Like,
okay, I see that.
And that's from someone who had kids already, which was another factor why I was just, like I said, when I was putting it on paper.
Yeah.
And I come
like,
in,
baby,
a, I come,
number two.
Right, not even number two. Exactly. And
I'm sorry.
I come from a home with, I had both parents, and I never felt like neglected by my parents. I felt the love in my home, and that's what I want for my child.
I know.
Cause
I always say that the relationship that you choose to have with these people is the structure of love that you are choosing to teach your children. Because when they see you guys arguing, that's how they learn to communicate. That's how they learn to get their anger out. And that's what they think love is. And I do not want my children's perception of love to be skewed in any way by my mistakes, my anger, or things that I'm putting in front of them. And so because I can recall arguments that happened in front of me from my parents, I definitely am so happy that I chose a partner that doesn't even allow us to argue. Like once I bring up an issue, it's, okay, well, how can I fix it? You feel me?
That's the way it should be, though.
Like, I'd be so mad because, like, I'm still mad and I don't know what to do with the rest of my anger because you just fixed the fucking issue and I'm still mad. Now, just don't touch me. Like, you feel me? It's just, it's certain things that, like, I didn't think was possible in a relationship, but I always wanted it. And it's, like, crazy because my fucking, you know when you go on Facebook every once in a couple months? You feel me? And you see your memories.
And then you see you with someone that you just like,
no,
ugh.
Fuck that. I never posted people. I'm sorry.
Oh, I did.
I probably posted like one person, and that was like my lesbian relationship. And I was there. That's with that girl for like 2 years. And I only posted her on Snap, not even no cap. So,
damn.
I never really posted people because people are finicky. You feel me? And I'm just a forever ass bitch. So I was with my boyfriend for a year before I posted him. Like, a year, bro.
Oh, no.
Like,
I was posting Niecy from day one.
See, But
you know, it's crazy. I didn't do that in every relationship. Mm-hmm. It's just like you get that comfort.
Mind you,
I don't know.
We have videos that go back from day zero.
It was just not posted. You got to know for sure, though.
And it wasn't even like I didn't know for sure. It was just like, it was so good. I wanted to keep it to myself. And I mean, like, it was good. It was scary good because it was the things I was asking for my previous relationship that I thought was unattainable, that I thought it was too much, and that I thought maybe I maybe my bar's too high. You feel me? Maybe that's what's going on. And I didn't have to lower shit. This person rose up to meet every standard and then rose above them and then set new standards and then rose above those. And then he put me on a pedestal above all of that. And it was possible. And I didn't go and I didn't look for it. Like, I wasn't actively looking for a relationship. And so it was even a double surprise. Like, I just had to keep it to myself. Like, it's so good. Like,
it's too good. You're scared. You ever have things going so well you start to panic about it? Or yes, that's just me? Because it's like, when does it go wrong?
Of our relationship, I was very panicky because it was just like, it was too much. It was too good. It didn't make sense. It was just a lot of factors that would go with, like, a lot of things that were going off in my head because I'm an overthinker. And so, like, while you're thinking about scenario one, I'm at scenario 1022. You feel me? I'm playing that one out right now. And so, I mean, again, it was just, like, it just couldn't have been more perfect. Like, every circumstance that brought us together was so random that I know it had to be, it had it's to happen. Fate. Like, it was just completely designed for us to be together. And I'm so happy because, like, at the end of the day, like, even my grandmother, when she died, my grandmother died on Tuesday, you feel me? And, like, I never experienced loss besides my miscarriage. I never lost anyone close to me.
So, and to have it that close in range,
yeah,
is, like,
it's just, like, I didn't know how I was gonna react, but, like, I just, at first I felt guilty. You know, that always comes with grief. I feel like you always feel like, well, what could I have done to have prevented this? Like, it, you know, what could I have? And it's like, I couldn't do anything. So on top of me feeling helpless about the situation, you feel me? It was just more of experiencing grief for the first time with a person that, like, I knew. Or, like,
that's like my situation and the person that died that was close to me. Like, yeah. I've had people that I've had conversations with or seen around pass and, oh, people in my family, but you're not that close, but you've seen them around.
Right.
They die. Right. And then it's like, I never had any direct emotion towards it. Like, I never went to a funeral and really cried. And I never really couldn't sleep or, like, think about that person a lot. So when this person died, it was just like, oh, this is how it felt. So I, at first, I was just thinking, like, maybe I'm numb to this emotion.
I used to think I used to think something was wrong with me.
Because I couldn't cry instantly when people die. Like,
I used to feel like I was disconnected, and so, like, maybe I was just void of emotion, and at that point, I started to wonder, like, well, how would I ever react? And then, you feel me, boom, first was the miscarriage, and again, even when you said with the jokes, we had to do, I had a lot of dark humor. Like, when I say dark humor, like, I mean, somebody heard David, oh my God, hey. But I used dark humor to get me through it, and I just, the fact that my boyfriend was able to just do it right back, and you feel me, it wasn't like
weird, or it's not like he's not looking at you like you're wilding right now,
bro. I'm telling you, because, like, I mean, sometimes when I'm uncomfortable, I laugh. Like, I remember, like, getting caught doing something by a partner, I started laughing. Like, I'm not laughing at you, but it's
my the situation.
When I'm uncomfortable, I just laugh. I mean, like, oh shit,
like, that's like just me when people cry around me. I low-key be like like, no, up until recently, like, I used to hate when people, like, my homegirl be crying over their boy. I'd be like, don't cry. Then I have to turn my head, because if you start crying and you have an ugly cry, I'm a dead start laughing.
Oh my God. And that's crazy, because it's like, I'm like, I didn't want to do this episode for a long time because I'm like, I don't want to do the ugly cry. Like, I'm not sure how okay I am with losing Nugget. And then on top of that, losing your grandma. So, like, I was just, I mean, after going through the guilt, you feel me? After going through that, it was just, again, for me, it was a little harder because my grandfather, I mean, in his grief, I guess, he was trying to find somebody to blame. And he said some weird shit. Like,
it's always stuff like that during death. It just,
you feel me? And it was just like, it's almost like he said, like, you feel me? If you were here, it would never happen. And it was just so crazy because it was just like, whoa, wait, what?
That's just misplaced emotion, like, and because, not to cut you off.
No. And honestly, that's what I took it for, because at first it hurt so bad because, like, we weren't always on the best of terms, only because he doesn't really agree with my, my living, life path, right? Only because he's a pastor, and I'm so the farthest thing from what you would find in the church. That's what people would assume, you know, because like
again, just
because
of your content and just you being
just,
you,
just me personally. Like you see my tattoos, you feel me? I say what I want to say, you feel me? I wear certain things, like my show is about sex, and everything about me just exudes everything that he stands for. Like it's just like no. Bitch, you belong over there, so like you feel me, and it's just like he would say. But the thing why it fucked me too is because he would say things like this to me every time I saw him, and so it was just like you don't want to keep going around that, and then you almost feel bad because it's just like
you start thinking like, is this true about me? Like
at a point, right when I was unsure of myself and I was going through the depression when I was with my ex. And he would say things like that, it would hurt 10 times more because I wasn't sure of myself. But in this version of me, where I'm so sure that I'm a fucking amazing person and I've worked for years to correct character flaws and things that I know would prevent me from moving forward in the self of and in self-learning and loving oneself, like anything that prevented me from moving on to the next level, I literally took it out of myself, like all the arguments. Like all the argumentative parts of me that I felt like would be more so to push back rather than listen, I took that out. I love to chat. I love to say why I think da 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 da.
And that's like to, yeah. I had to learn. It's crazy how you have to go through pain to learn how you learn a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. Whether it's like pain in a relationship or yeah. death or like losing a child, you learn a lot I about how like you
have to know that there's a lesson. Like when you come with pain into a situation, I feel like it's definitely a lesson you had to learn because pain changes you and lessons have to change you. So if you're going through pain and you're not actually learning the lesson, it's going to come back again.
Because you're not going to know how to deal with the situation.
I swear the whole time I'm like losing my mind trying to figure out, well, what exactly is the lesson here? What do I need to learn? And I was racking my mind so crazy because the part about it is my grandfather, this is his second wife he lost. So my mother's mother died when I was 2 and he married her when I was like 4. So
but this is what you know, who you know as your grandmother, right?
This is all I've known. Like her recipes is all I've known. How she talked to me, like she used to, and the thing about it was that's my man's. Like she was always my man's. Like not my, she was my man's. You know what I mean?
Cool.
I love to read and so did she. And we love the same type of novels. So Sunday she would have like a brand new stack of books for me, like all hardcover, just like I like them. You feel me? And we would just compare notes like grandma. Kevin was getting crazy with Sheila in that room. She was like, yes, he was, honey. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, yeah, that's my, like, we go outside, she's my, and she a hairdresser. She works in Harlem. Mm. Worked. So.
It's the pride of the process.
I know, right? So, we'll be outside. She'd be like, oh, look at her hair. Like, you feel me? I'd be like, grandma. She'd be like, girl, why would she come outside like that? She could have put some gel on them edges.
You guys be cracking up.
And we be dying. Like, that is my man. So it's like, because me and my grandfather grew up and had that split.
She
and,
you know, filled that little void.
That's, no, the thing is that they're mans. Like, see, I mean, my boyfriend is best friend.
They cool.
They man. So if it's him or me, it's him. Okay, it's him. Like when we grew up, it became him. You feel me? Like one time they came downstairs to jump us. Like they came downstairs to jump us because we was getting our car clean and the guy had his van in the driveway and they came downstairs like, move the van. Like both of them came out. I'm like, oh.
That's how y'all moving?
I never seen y'all move so quick. Oh, you don't need a cane this time, grandma. And so because we was kind of at odds when I moved out, it was like I felt bad because it's like to go from being man to go
to
from
like tension
to tension to not speaking to the fact that, you know, when I move out and now you gone,
you like that felt shit, so I understand why you may have felt guilt with
that
your
shit
grief
hurt. I was just like, oh my god. And then for me to have that thought on my own and then for my grandfather to say it,
it just sets it in, like, oh, maybe this
I'm
really
like,
what it is.
Oh, kill me now, my dad. Please just take me to blood clot. Am I father me doing? Like, you, this shit just,
because it really makes you feel like you should have stepped in, repaired the relationship before.
And it's just like, At a point, I did, right? It was to the point that I even, all right, so she makes this, she makes her famous cornbread and she makes her famous mac and cheese. And we got so cool to the point that I'm like, Grandma, let me get the recipe. So I got the recipe for the cornbread. But you feel me? I'm like, oh, I'm going to get the mac and cheese later. Later.
You're still not going to know.
You feel me? And it's just like, damn. Like, and I mean, the last time I physically saw my grandma, we was cool. Like, it was Gucci. We was laughing. We was busting jokes. I mean, we was weak till we was wiping eyes. Woo! Like, that's how we is. And it was me, him, my grandpa, and my cousin was on the phone. And that's the last time I saw her. She kissed me so much. She loved me. You feel me? And then she got sick, and it all happened so fast. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go call. I mean, I'm going to call her. Then it was like, oh,
but
I'm
you thought you had time.
I thought I had time. You feel me? And so the guilt, it was eating at me until I realized, like, in all reality, I couldn't have went to see her because she had corona. You feel me? So even though I wanted to,
you wouldn't be able to.
I wouldn't have been able to. You understand? And so I had to get rid of that part. I had to use logic to patch that part of my grief because blaming myself, I couldn't have done it. I wouldn't have known. You feel me? And it was like at a point she didn't want to talk to anybody on the phone. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like she
so
wasn't,
that's not your fault.
So that's not my fault either. You feel me? And then it was just like there were so many other factors. And I legitimately had to, like, stack them to just build myself back together. Like, boom. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't this. I couldn't have done that. I did what I could.
So do you feel like your pain started with knowing the condition that she was in? Because usually when people lose people to, like, illness, it starts from when they're sick all the way until...
The thing is that I heard she was in the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to call her from then. And it was just within that same week that I remember I got so busy with a couple other things. Like, we were trying to, like, do so many other things that week that even when I got the call that she died, I was in Pennsylvania doing my nails. I was in Pennsylvania. Like, you feel me? Like, that's how far I'm like, oh, da-da-da. But it was still on my list. It was on my list of things to do. Like, so it was just, like, never making it to that part of the list hurt. Because it was something I had to do, but I didn't level it as of importance.
Important, right. You didn't prioritize it.
That falls back on me. You feel me? That was one of the bricks I couldn't patch. You feel me? I had to eat that. I got to carry that one. Cool. You feel me? Because at the end of the day, you never know when you're going to lose somebody,
you
right?
Don't.
And you feel like, not that they're expendable, but you feel like they'll always be there. And so you don't always treat them like...
But then it reflects on you because... Since my cousin died, because we were like close. Mm-hmm. So since my cousin died, it's not, I started thinking, having all these thoughts about like who else is going to die around me, when I'm going to, like, I just been feeling lost. So like I'm living like
so that's
day to day. And I never used to think. You never used to have those thoughts. You like, you don't think about stuff. Like, I'm not someone that thinks about when I'm going to die, when my parents are going to pass, when my siblings are going to... I never had these thoughts until someone so close to me, like, literally, we were on the phone the day before she died. Like, once I realized, like, it can happen that fast, that's when things started processing different for me.
And being on the phone even the day before she died, that got to hit so hard, too. Because, like, I just... spoke to you.
And it's crazy because I'm not someone that's spiritual or anything like that. I don't really see things as signs or anything like that. But when I found out she died the night before, I was having trouble sleeping. Like, I could not sleep. So I was on the phone with my girlfriend on my way to work. And I'm like, I could not sleep. I can't wait till I get off because I'm going to sleep. Like, I was tossing and turning all night. And that's when I got the call. And like, I'm just like, this makes sense. And the timeline they were saying she died is like, that's around the time I was up and I couldn't sleep. It was just so weird. So all of this is like, I'm opening this new eye for me. I think everything is like some type of sign or spiritual.
So I was already like that because, again, my grandfather is a pastor. And so, but when I say God moves directly in my life, I mean, like, he's immediate with my karma. Like, I remember one time, like, I went to Kingsborough, right? And I was in the hole, but I had my headphones had a glitch in it. So I asked my friend, like, yo, can I borrow your headphones real quick? He's like, all right, but you got to give it back to me because I got a free period after. I'm like, I got you because I had to leave after. So I seen her in the hallway, but my song was on. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this whole bus ride with no headsies. So I walked right past the girl. I was like, doop, 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 doop. Right? I got home. My mother got into an argument. She snatched my phone, turned it off. like turn my phone off.
That was instant like, karma for real.
I'm like, oh, next thing I seen her, I clean her headphones off, cleaned out the like, ears, yeah. Wrapped it back up. I said, here you go. My bad, yesterday I left a little early. Yeah, you shitting me? So, I mean, everything to me is always a sign. That's why I go so crazy. You know, if you see me posting my angel numbers.
But that's another thing that I got. I always used to see you post your angel numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, even now, I still see my birthday, but I didn't think nothing of it. Mm-hmm. But then right after my cousin died, I was seeing the 444. Remember, I was posting it like, it's crazy. Like, I keep seeing this and then I search it up because, like I said, I was never someone spiritual. So now I start searching up everything. It was someone was first telling me that that means that they're trying to tell me, like, my cousin's trying to communicate directly with me. I don't remember all the readings because I was reading every single number that I could see. I don't remember exactly what the 444 was, but like I said, this started opening another chapter for me being spiritual. I'm not someone that's spiritual. Like I said, I was just living. Like,
Definitely. And it's, so now it's crazy. I really
start finding purpose.
I feel like having someone close to you die definitely opens up another side of spirituality for a lot of people, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, I never get to spoke to you. And then they start looking for more because it's like, damn, they was just here. You got to be around somewhere. Right? You understand? That's when they start talking to God. That's when they start talking out loud. That's when they really start trying to find any piece of them to connect. And I feel like me being a spiritual person before that definitely helped me, because like, I just felt like even the day of her funeral, I missed her funeral. And let me tell you the crazy part, right? As soon as we got, like, basically the funeral was in New York, and I live in Jersey. She was from Jersey, so they buried her in Jersey, and her repast was in Jersey.
But the funeral was in New York.
So I'm like, okay, I gotta get up, get to da-da-da. On my way home the night before the funeral, my period came, and my first day is always really, really bad. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take some Tylenol. I end up not being able to find a Tylenol. I just took a shower, went straight to sleep. When I woke up,
it was past funeral time.
Oh my motherfucking God. I felt like somebody was inside of my stomach stabbing me and going, bitch, you should have called me. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yo. It was the worst.
It was so bad. I was just, and I was still trying to get dressed and crying. And normally my boyfriend's there to help me, but he was throwing up. It was like he had a stomach bug. Like, he was throwing up.
There was definitely signs.
Bro, and I'm just like, what the fuck? I mean, he couldn't help me. I couldn't help him. I'm doubled over crying. He doubled over in pain. And it was just like, this is fucking crazy. We could not make it to the funeral. Like, nothing that we did in no time. I mean, and we did wake up on time. I mean, I woke up at 7. I couldn't even move. Like, I remember crying, and then I just remember waking back up. Like, I cried myself to sleep in pain. I woke back up. I was still early. I tried to get dressed. It was just not working. It was just like, nah, this is fucking crazy. Like, and that to me was a sign, like, why the fuck? I don't know. Like, maybe I was not going to be able to handle myself at the funeral. Maybe I wasn't going to be able to see her in a casket, because the only other funeral I've ever been to was my grandmother's mother passing. And I used to watch my grandmother's mother because she ended up getting Alzheimer's in her earlier ages. And so we was mad cool. Like, her Alzheimer's selves was so cool. Like, all of her personalities was mad funny. They was rude. They was mad mean. They had mad jokes. They were like, I told this heifer here, I stab her right in her motherfucking face. I told that bitch if she ever come. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, great grandma, you gotta chill. She's like, what? I told him. And I took a man and she didn't do shit. You thought
that was so entertaining.
I was like, I remember I was like 14. It was like, oh my gosh. Like, wow. Oh my God. This lady is really going crazy, but I love her. And she would only allow me to feed her. She would only allow me to give her her medication. And so I would watch her. And so when she died, like, it was like, I hadn't watched her for like a month because she had got really bad. Like maybe 2 months. And so when I heard she died, it was like, oh my God. But I didn't cry the way I thought I was going to cry. Yeah,
that's like
me. You know, and that was the first time I was like, okay, maybe I'm disconnected. Maybe I don't have this emotion. But I sat next to my grandma at the funeral. And I remember, like, my grandmother and her mother, they weren't always at the best of places. I remember her testifying in church one Sunday. She was like, oh, and it's like all the stuff my mother did to me, and now I have to take care of her. I know God's going to see me do it. That's really how it be. You know, and so to have her go from that, right? And then at the funeral, she was okay. Everything, she was okay. And then, literally, I was holding her hand 1 minute, and then she was like, Ma, get up. Get up. And then she just started crying. She threw herself on the casket, and I was just like, that's when I cried.
That's what I thought I was going to be like at my cousin's funeral. But you know what's crazy? Like, I cried a lot at my cousin's funeral, but I still feel like it was... I was disconnected still mm-hmm. because it still wasn't like, it, wasn't like it was there. Like I would have gaps from the day I found out that she died up until mm-hmm. the funeral. I would have points where I'll be crying hysterically and points where I'm just like, this is like not feeling real to yeah. me until someone would say something. It would trigger me.
Yeah.
Like it was very hard for me. Everyone that we were really like Molly and Mike. And then it's yeah. crazy because there was times that I was foreshadowing my cousin's death. Because the way that she died was tragic and like her whole life was risk taken. So it'll be stuff that she would do. And when we find out that she did it, we'll be like, you survived that. So having it, when she gets to the point where she calms down in life and just chilling and really just trying to be mm-hmm. a good person and change her life around and yeah. just grow up. It's mm-hmm. like for her to die, it's just like, wow. Like at this point, after she done did all this shit,
right.
at this point when she's just...
Do you mind me asking what happened?
She overdosed, but someone gave her a drug that was laced. Mm. With fentanyl mm-hmm. but prior to that she hadn't done drugs in
a very
long time mm-hmm.
so that just hit her system and right. it was definitely a shock
right yeah. and it's weird because like I said she was living a daredevil life mm-hmm. in New York and then she moved to Pennsylvania and when she moved to Pennsylvania it's just like she was just focused she mm-hmm. got everything she got her crib she got her car she was doing everything that she said she was going to do
yeah.
so the worry that I used to have for her was gone like yeah. I felt comfortable because yeah. she's somewhere that she's in a better place in yeah. life I don't have to worry about her so mm-hmm. it hit me completely off guard it's just more like if it's someone you speak to all the time
yeah.
you start realizing like you really can't call them mm-hmm. you can't text them I still have her number saved I still have her contact on everything like I can't see myself deleting her like because to me she's still
yeah
it's you just can
still
weird.
Read the conversations you can still go up and see the jokes the memes you can still look at it
and
like,
that's and you know it's another thing because I used to always say like I never understood how people would just like be going through grief and
be on social
media because
oh
I thought I couldn't be that person
oh
but
my God.
When I found out my cousin died all our memories is in my archive on Instagram
yeah.
and on Snapchat so that was my first instinct let me go look at all our pictures but when I'm looking at our pictures I'm showing people like this is really my right hand do mm-hmm. y'all understand what I'm going through right
yeah.
now like
and it's crazy because it's at a point where you feel like nobody can understand what the fuck you going through. Like, nobody can know the loss because they don't have the relationship that y'all have. And they won't be missing what you're missing
right.
from your day. And you feel me? Like, that's why, at first, when I found out, I broke down for my grandfather. Because to be married for 23 years, to be have your partner in crime, to find, first of all, to find the love of your life twice. To find somebody who's going to love you twice. And then you lose them twice. That I broke down because I'm just like, damn, like, I can't imagine what I would feel like to lose this partner that I found. Like, I don't even get dressed by myself. I don't do nothing by my fucking self, bro. I be bringing him to my nail appointments. Only place he don't go is my hair appointments. Like, I swear, like, I be bringing him everywhere. That is my partner in crime. So, it's just like,
waking up and not having your partner, like...
It's just like he can't drive without her. He don't go nowhere without her. Like, you feel me? Like,
that's how it is at that age.
So it's just like I felt so bad because I know he's never going to be able to find that again. And so I figured, I'm just like, me being the person I am, I started thinking like maybe he has a lesson to learn because I can't understand why God would take his wife twice. I mean, as a pastor, you feel me? You serve God. This is something you have to learn. And I truly feel like because of the relationship that he has with me, I know he has things to learn. But to other people, he's not like that. And so they can't understand it. But, I mean, I've seen a side that not most people see.
Do you plan on, like, repairing your relationship or trying to repair your relationship with your grandfather since your grandmother's passed?
And so that is the hardest thing that's weighing on me right now, because every day since she's died, I've been in New York. I've been by his side. And every day, I've just been taking him, saying what he says to me. Like, he's just been directing, not even, it's just like,
maybe that's a part of his lesson as well.
You would think, I try to figure it out. I try not to take it in too much, but I mean, again, it still hurts, and I try to just displace it as grief. But being around him for the past 5 years, like, seeing that it's just how he talks to me, I can't. So it's just like, at the end of the day, I want to repair it, but what's left to repair if that's just
you? It's like you're willing to make the effort. It's him. To make the effort.
And it's just
as
like,
well,
I feel like that lesson is somewhere in there. You feel me? And it's just like, it may not be my place to help him find it. It may, but we are going to find out, I guess, because like at the end of the day, it's not really up to me. And I'm just happy that my relationship with God and my spirituality and knowing that I'm a really good person, because like I really, besides the continuum teeth, I'm talking. A good person, you understand? Like, that's about it. Like, I really make sure that I try, like, even if I get into a argument with somebody close to me, I wouldn't even try to argue. It'd be more come from a place of understanding, like, okay, so why did you feel this way, and what about this, and what about that,
what can we do to fix it?
You feel me? And like, I don't like falling out with people that I feel like could have been solved with a conversation. You feel me? Like, it's certain since you look back and you're like, if we would have just been able to have a conversation, it would have never got that
escalated
way.
Escalated.
I mean, if I was able to have a conversation with my grandfather where, like, you know how I say things to you, you would listen to them and then you would hear what I say and respond. More so, it's just like he heard
what
I said.
But he's standing on what he's saying.
But he's just going to repeat the things back to me because it's just like it went like this over his head. And, like, as a pastor, that's the thing. Like, if you've been serving God for this amount of time and you're a pastor and you're a man, how wrong can somebody tell you that you are? You feel like you got the power of God behind you.
But it's also, age plays a big role, because it took a long time for me to get where I am with my mom, because it's just a matter of understanding. And these people, especially from my mom, from a West Indian background, she has things that were planted in her mind, instilled in her mind from when she was young.
It's a lot of things like that.
So she lives and dies by what she knows. You get what I'm trying to say? But I had to get her to understand we're in different times, and I'm also growing up in a different culture. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm growing up in America. You came here already with this instilled, so you're not open to everything that this generation and this country is about. So
and it's a lot of things that I feel like, there's no way that y'all can feel like y'all always right if we have to come here and teach you how to use a computer. Like, it's obviously things that are just advancing in
this
world that you need to learn from me. So for you not to be receptive of that because you feel like you're right, like, the Bible does not have the answer to how to get into Google. Like, I know that the Bible has the answer to, like, the basic instructions before leaving Earth, but it's not going to help you right here. It's not going to help you understand this culture that we're in, these times, or like simple things that you need to know how to do that I can do. And it's just like, to not be able to have that relationship even though you try, just because of what I'm perceived as, like, I'm sorry, I would not take back my tattoos if that would make you love me more, because this is me. And a lot of things that, you know, we go through when you come from a household that's Christian, also of a West Indian background, is like the devil. As soon as you put a tattoo on you, it's automatically
just numerous things.
Like, you know, it's just so
the,
like,
littlest stuff, they would just think that is just the worst.
You have to take a lot of the stuff with a grain of salt, because if not, you'll be sitting in the corner in your room crying, okay? And at the end of the day, that's why I'm so happy that I know I'm a good person. Like, and I've tested my theory across the world. I've went to Africa and they respond to me the same way because I'm a genuinely good person. Like, I've literally gone to London. I've touched the seas. Like, I went all over on a cruise. And, you know, strangers respond to me the same way because I'm a genuinely good person. Nothing that someone says to me can take that away, because I know the work I've put in to genuinely be this beam of light when I come around. Like, when I come around, people normally just smile at me. Like, why are you smiling? You don't even know me. Because I feel good. That's it. You feel me?
You definitely are full of good vibes, energy, good vibes.
And I definitely try to make sure that that's the energy I put forth, because I have a very large presence of energy. And if I want to, I can change it. So I really worked hard on becoming a good person so that I don't affect everyone's energy.
And you get
energy.
Blessed for it.
I'm telling you, I've been immensely blessed for it. Because again, finding my partner, learning lessons I've learned, the way I've learned them, not having to learn them by having a baby by somebody that I don't like. You feel me? Learning the lessons without coming out with a STD, an incurable disease, or anything like that that could have, you know, changed me for life. You have to thank God, because there are some people who don't make it out of these situations like that. You understand? Yeah, and it's definitely. Just like they wish they would have known, or they wish they could go back. And I'm just glad I don't have a situation that I have to wish I went back on. Like, I don't want to regret my kid. You feel me? I don't want to regret decisions I've made. And so I really put a lot of thought into decisions before I make them. Like, so when I move with intentions. Like, if I slap you, bitch, I thought about this. I put real thought behind this, and I'm standing behind my decision on slapping. You understand? Like, I don't do nothing off the fly. Nobody... I would not slap somebody because they mad. Like, you would have to come into my box and upset me enough to that I feel like you affected my life, and now I need to physically harm you.
Which is rare, because you really full of positive energy.
Exactly. So you feel me? So just like at the end of the day, like even when I had broke up with my co-host, and like she had that whole thing where she was trying to go crazy on the internet and try to post pictures
Didn't even know any of
that
happened.
Oh girl,
that
was crazy. And she was like, oh, I'm gonna make you wanna fight me. Oh wait, sorry. I'm gonna make you wanna fight me. That's really hard.
But shade of it all.
Like, but even like that, like at the end of the day, you feel me? That never got me out my box, because like all that did was send my views and the podcast up. Like, I'm not a negative person. You cannot get me to air the dirty laundry I know about
person.
You. Like,
I'm not a negative person either. And a lot of people realize this, because I want to say I always had like a social media presence, mm-hmm. but it was never for the right reason. And mm-hmm. everyone already had painted this negative image of me. So it was so easy for people to come
with
negative
that's true,
energy.
Because I honestly know I knew of you because of the fight you had with
the girl. Right.
Right. And so you feel me? So but you're absolutely right. But I never was one of the people who like, oh my God, this girl must be like that because da 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 da. You feel me? I was always.
But a lot of people were like that. And then when they meet me or we have like interaction, they're like, oh wait, you're cool. And it's like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, yo, I'm cool.
And that be a part of how I know you met me, from somebody who hated, because you were like, oh my God, you kind of cool.
Like, people
like,
said you were
you
like,
yeah. I'm not... mean, oh my God, I'm kind of cool. Like, at the end of the day, you had to come get your own perception about me, baby. Because
that's a fact.
Listen, somebody can tell you I'm a hating ass bitch, and somebody can tell you I'm a loving ass bitch. Fuck it. Believe both of them. But at the end of the day, come find out for yourself what I'm gonna be to you. Because at the end of the day, I might have had to be that type of person to that type of person. At the end of the day, like, different people get different people from me. Like, you feel
me?
And
some people are just, they feed off of negative energy. Like, my situation that happened this week, it was definitely mm-hmm. some random ass shit. We didn't know each other on a personal level, mm-hmm. but she was having a bad day and I was having a bad day, and mm-hmm. negative energy collided and it escalated into something that it shouldn't have been. It's just like, if you're positive all around, you wouldn't get yourself into things. And
that's a fact.
I realized that I was, before when I was younger, I was just feeding off of everyone else's negative mm-hmm. energy. And as I grew older, I learned how to just like not let anyone kill my vibe. And I haven't been into shit since I've
so
just
crazy
been living.
Because when your parents used to tell you, watch who your friends are, watch the company you keep, you thought they was fucking crazy. But think about it though, like, even the people that you hang out with now, that's the colloquialisms that you use in the language you speak. Like, how you do talk like your friends, you know, you do certain things like your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, even sometimes I'd be dressing, wearing the same outfit and I didn't plan it. Why? Because y'all think alike. You mm-hmm. feel me? Like, at the end of the day, the people that you keep around you definitely have a large influence in the things that you do every day. And even how you would react to a situation, because like, imagine being on the phone with your rowdy friend, right, and somebody bump you in the street, and you be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, you're right, like, you're rowdy.
Bitch, punch that bitch in her face, fuck out of here. You be like, yeah, matter of fact, da-da-da.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's why sometimes I wasn't big on cutting off people. I was always the person to try to give people a second chance. But today I posted, like, my life has been good since I just cut out. It was people I was giving too many chances to, and they were just weighing my life down.
Yeah.
Like, and now I just feel free of everything. Like, yeah. All the people I have around me, I feel like the love is genuine. Mm-hmm. Everyone that I'm friends with, the person that I'm in a relationship with, all mm-hmm. my family members that I'm cool with, is genuine. And before, yeah. it was being forced. It was more like me trying to mm-hmm. make someone
like, even the friends you have that don't go as hard for you as they go for other friends, like, just let those go. Like, don't spend your time trying to figure out why they do it. Like, just find friends that are wholeheartedly there for you. Like,
and some people, you have to know how to categorize people, because even with my cousin dying, I realized, like, a lot of people I consider friends, those weren't friends of mine, because I'm not speaking about going out to drink or, yeah. like, I'm going through something, and before you checking on me, you yeah. rather stay away and wait yeah. till it blows over.
Yeah, that's something you're not to a me. Friend. Like, I'm just so happy that everybody who I consider close in my life reached out. You feel me? They definitely said their condolences, and it was definitely, they was able to have me talk about it without feeling about it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, I was able to have a conversation and really talk about how I felt. Like, you feel me? And I just appreciate the fact that I went through that process of elimination from early on, so that you, I really do ready. Have, you feel me? Like,
you had I'm still around. On
the
hunt
for a best friend, because I can't take babe everywhere. Like, it's gonna be some places me, I want to leave him. Like,
that's, I feel like my girlfriend is my best friend. I yeah. really do. But, like, I realized the other day it was like 70 degrees and she was going out with her friends, and I'm like, oh, yo. I'm about to go outside. And I'm like, wait, who I'm going outside with? Because every time people invite me outside, I'm like, I'm in the house with Nipsey. Like, so now nobody want to hang with me,
because oh I made Robin, you my let's number just be one friends, friend, because right? like at the end of the day, I'm out here searching, because I'm just like, bro, I take him everywhere, but it's gonna be something. I want to leave him and go with my right. girls. I want to miss him. Like, okay, at the end of the day, though, like, I want to thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you,
and for chatting with me, and for like almost crying with me twice. I really appreciate the honesty.
Thank you.
I don't think I could go through this with any other person. I really appreciate the real ass bitchness in the room. You feel me?
Well, I'm sorry. My condolences go out to you for Nugget and your grandmother. It gets better, though. I mean, I'm still not there yet with my situation, but it definitely is getting better. I'm going from crying every day to every 3 days. So
I remember expressing my condolences to you, and I was like, damn, I felt, I remember writing a long as much as like, yo, I just really hope you go through your grief.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Dead ass. Like, I just felt it for you, even without having that experience or not to have it. I'm like, damn, I gotta go back and see what I told you, because I need that shit.
No,
nah, but thank you so much.
No problem. Anytime.
You. Please follow her on YouTube. How you do it? Subscribe
on and follow YouTube. Me on Instagram. It's Don't Ask to Link. Actually, it's just Don't Ask to Link without the mix. So
yes. Yeah. Okay. And SNG, we out.
Mm.
Yay. I think that